everybody, and welcome to Radio Radar, episode 133, the weekly podcast from Games Radar Plus, where we talk about all the big events in the world of video games, along with top sevens, your answers to the question of the week, and the week in reviews and news. And I am here with
Maxwell McGee,
Lucas Sullivan,
Lorenzo Valoria.
I was so focused on that spiel, I did not say my name. I'm Henry Gilbert.
Thank you.
That's H-E-N-E-R-E-Y-G.
No, that's not your
Twitter.
Name.
No, but I think people should know where to follow me on Twitter. I'm getting close to 5,000 followers.
Well, so. That's a lot.
The big 5K, baby.
That's next level.
Beta breakers, 5K.
I got like 300.
Will Twitter send you a plaque like YouTube does when you hit a certain number?
I bet they do if you hit like 100,000.
Only one way to find out, Henry.
Henry, are you verified?
Are you verified?
How are people
supposed to trust you?
Verified Henry G.
Who's who?
All right, isn't it annoying when you see people who tweet that fake Chris Rock account? Like,
I've never seen that in my life.
I've seen it so many times. Several times
Hell
when...
It grinds my gears.
Well, now, so several times when horrible things happen to black people in America, which, mm-hmm. Happens from time to time, somebody will make a seemingly very, prescient point with, in the Chris Rock account, will, drop some, wisdom about mm-hmm. the situation, and I'll see everybody retweeting. I'm like, it's not Chris Rock, guys. maybe this is a good comment on race relations in America, but, that guy's a freaking liar. That's not Chris Rock. Maybe everybody thinks it's more wise than it is because they're like, Chris Rock said it. This is one of his smartest comments.
Maybe he's building up that trust. He's building up that clout, and then one day he's going to pull the rug out from under all of us.
Guess what? I've been white all along.
Well, same with if you see Bill Murray tweets. Those are also fake. Bill Murray is not on Twitter.
Henry, I want to hear your story about earphones.
Oh, yeah. Well, this ties into WrestleMania. So, boy, this weekend, you may remember last week on the show, I was talking about how excited I was for a wrestle-filled weekend. And it was the most wrestling I'd ever engaged in one four-day period. Yeah, so Friday night, went straight to San Jose from work into the city and then drove back to San Jose.
You're rude. Okay.
Well, that's where my friend's car
was. I want you to really get into this.
All right.
How was the trip?
Did you take the 101, going to the city?
I forget how long of a drive it is to San Jose. That's all.
It's 45 minutes.
I don't like it. Somebody who never drives in cars. And by that, I mean I don't count the shuttle. I go in every single day. this story is going off the tracks.
I love it.
Yeah,
any kind of commute related.
Friday I went to the San Jose University. Got to go to one of the most fervent, excited wrestling events I've ever been to. It was 5,000 people, the biggest this group had ever performed in front of. So they were thinking we made it, and everybody's just all goosebumps, and it's great. And I just about lost my voice, screaming along with some of it. Well, this one dude did this move that he never does, except on special occasions. And the whole audience was chanting for it, but we were like, he's not going to do the move. And then he did it! And then we all just went ah!
was the move?
This is real deep. Well, it's a move called the go to sleep, which is...
Okay. Is that hyphenated go to sleep?
No, just go to sleep.
Go to sleep.
No space.
Shortened to GTS, and everybody was chanting GTS, GTS. All right, so it is a fireman carry. So fireman carry over the shoulders. Mm-hmm. Then you lift the guy off your shoulders and bring his face down onto your knee, and then you smash him with your knee in the face. And the guy acts all knocked out and stuff and is like a super finisher. So this guy invented that move. But another guy in WWE used that move before, so he wasn't going to be able to use the move he invented because somebody else used it before he got there. Now that guy has left, but the guy left under such negative circumstances, it seemed like WWE still wouldn't let him do his special move.
Sure.
And so it was something for the audience to demand to see him do because they knew he wasn't allowed to. So seeing him do it was this now allows him to do his best move, the one he invented. And all right, so yeah.
Back from the original.
So where did earphones go?
Then on Sunday, then all right, Friday was that. Saturday was seeing the Hall of Fame, but only on TV. I did not go that live.
Okay.
Because, man, one dude on the Hall of Fame, Larry Zbyszko.
I love this going into another story. Uh-huh. No, keep going.
He came to the Hall of Fame without having written anything. So he just, like, goes, boy, these are the best fans in the world. And, like, God, come on, Larry. This is what they're going to show when you're dead. Like, say better stuff.
It's
prepare
just
some.
Ad-libbing.
Yeah. All right, then came WrestleMania, which one I was supposed to go on that beer bus. It was an hour late and ran terribly by Kezar Pub. Never go to Kezar Pub, everybody, if you're in San Francisco.
Damning. Damning.
Second, we got there and I missed like the first pre-show match, but the rest of it was very fun. I had never been to Levi's Stadium before. It was great. And it was something I had never seen. I've seen people bring their kids to events before, but they're supposed to be so loud, you know, they're worried about their kid getting scared. So this baby had baby earphones on just to mask the noise, like a helicopter pilot would wear, and just was the big ones that cover it.
A snug fit because it was a baby size.
They were baby sized and they were like cute purple color, and clearly like they invested in some nice earphones, like, because technically you think like those look kind of expensive, and if you're just going to WrestleMania, you're like, pay $70 to a babysitter, you know, but
right.
And I guess you don't want earplugs because if they fell out, the baby might eat the
earplugs. Or the baby might just dig them out and eat them.
Yeah, it might just fall right in there.
Yeah.
Babies,
you don't know. The
babies don't have brains.
Still developing. Yeah. It could just slip right in.
So it was funny to see this relatively cute baby like acting.
like a 10-point scale. What are we talking about here? Yeah. We're talking about like a 7 kind of cute baby?
Six.
Okay.
It was a 6 baby.
A good baby.
I thought it had cute.
Not great.
I thought it had cute fat cheeks. I thought but that's
the pro.
Was it too much cheeks?
What was the track?
Is that what brought it down?
I don't know. Just like that was. It had a weird eyes, I guess.
Okay, that's fair.
Looked
fair.
Funny.
You gave him a stink eye.
Yeah. You want to rip the headphones right off?
Stupid headphones. No baby out there want to be wearing.
He gave
headphones.
You the devil look, and you're like,
I wonder what
six.
The baby thought was going on. Like it's just silence
the world
and everybody.
The literal world was crashing down around him.
Bright lights on men fighting each other.
People rioting.
Everyone screams.
I can't hear anything. But the world is rumbling all around me.
Everything, my insides are rumbling.
And then also on the way back, so the one last sting from that pub bus was
teaser pub.
Wait, so you took the pub bus back after?
Yeah, it was
the
time? Well, because we paid for the ride back. What else were we gonna do? Get $100 Uber ride back?
They give you a bottle of water,
or probably I better be like. Triple the price,
that,
like
premium hour or whatever.
But look, so we got on there, and one of the positives were free beer and snacks.
Great,
but the people on the bus wanted to just—they didn't want to pass back beer to people in this 50-person filled bus. Mm-hmm. The now very drunk wait staff decided they'd rather throw beer cans at people.
That's
good.
Like,
hey, can we get another beer? That's good. They're just like, yeah, here. Fling, fling. And like, they're really hitting people. And people like putting up their arms like, please stop, please. And they're just like, ha, 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 this is funny. And then they're saying like, no, this isn't fun. But it's like, this is not drunk fun anymore.
Holy
please
shit.
Stop. And then the last one like hit a friend of mine in the ear, like hit their earlobe and like was bleeding. Like he was bleeding.
Oh, wow.
And like, yeah.
That sounds like
a
settlement
waiting to happen. And then on the bus, they were like, we'll make this right when we get back. Don't worry. An hour later, we get back. They don't say a word to him. And then we get off like, we're hungry. Let's just get something to eat with a pub. And they're like, sorry, just shut down the kitchen. Like, this bus was dropping off 50 plus people at a bar, and they closed the... They close the kitchen when it shows
the
up.
The guy who throws the beer that hits your friend.
It was a lady.
It was the light. Okay. Waitstaff, though?
I think so.
Because at literally any other like food establishment, you throw a beer at somebody to make them bleed.
Well, they had that drunk
you'd get sued.
Well, they
real
have that
bad.
They have that drunk fun confidence of just like,
oh,
this
you
is
signed
all
the
fun.
Drunk fun confidence, yeah.
No. I mean, they think like, this is so fun. We're all having fun. Right. And just like, ha ha.
You don't want to be the nerd who goes out and sues them.
Oh, are you going to take this seriously?
Yeah.
Get them for all their work.
Like cans of beer, man, those things will knock you out.
Yeah.
Those are really heavy.
They are heavy.
No,
I mean,
know.
If they're so, water balloons full of beer.
And one of them was like the extra size, like shock top one, too. Like,
it
was
a fatty?
Were they throwing 40s or chucking 40s?
No, I wish it was. Yeah, that would have been.
Like a football.
That's right.
But also, like, they were kind of cheap beer, I have to say, too. Like, number one, like, Tecate is a cheap beer.
Yes.
Like,
okay.
I think it's below Pabst Blue Ribbon. Like,
yeah, ooh, yeah. Right. How long have we gone without talking about beer?
And second, I got Tecate Light, which is I didn't even know. Like, everybody
what?
On the bus was looking at, like, Tecate Light
they
exists?
They even make that? Yeah.
That's like, real?
That's like getting a bag of chips that has a hint of lime. It's like a hint of beer.
here's water.
Fizzy water with a hint of beer.
Some soda water with a light sprinkling of beer.
Well, how much did this cost? Whose idea was
it? It was $60. It was a suggestion of a friend who was like, well, none of us have cars that will fit four people. Mm-hmm. We all got to go. Oh, I heard this pub does. They did it last year. Let's just get the tickets with their bus. Okay, sure.
Big mistake.
Oh, yeah, man. And yeah, so.
It sounds it like was, a good idea.
It was still
paper,
a lot of fun.
Really
I mean, it was still, like, look, you didn't have to drive yourself there.
How
if we rented. I mean, it was just like a Costco pack of like 50 small Lay's, but you know, the Lay's variety pack, they're like, here's the Doritos, here's Lay's regular, here's all this. Like, just the very plain snacks.
Not up to snuff.
But they didn't, I'll say they didn't run out of beer ever. Like, that was, we were concerned to like.
No well, one to drink.
They were throwing it around, obviously.
And as bad as you might, if I said to you, you'll be on a bus full of 50 drunk wrestling fans, you might imagine it, I think you're imagining it
a
worse than
bus.
It actually was. It was not as bad.
So like I just imagine like a dystopian kind of situation. There's just barbed wire and like trash drums with
well,
fire.
It's just Mad Max.
Well, it did. I felt on edge the whole time of like, these guys on this bus, like they just need one thing to push them over. It's just like,
explode.
Yeah, fuck this. Fuck everything.
Just bus.
Just take over the bus.
Brock Lesnar wouldn't take this stuff, and neither will I. So that was about 15 minutes of fun.
Thank you guys for tuning in.
Yeah.
Episode 133.
Pleasure.
It's been a lot
see
of fun.
See you next week.
See ya.
All right, top seven,
whoa.
Written by one Lucas Sullivan.
Hello.
The top seven characters that are infinitely more interesting outside of games. I don't think this is 100% true. But,
oh, my.
Well, on notice.
Let's debate
unnoticed.
It.
Oh, I have one. I have one on here. But let's get into it. All right.
In a moment.
Starting off with Dr. Robotnik.
Number
seven. I believe it's Dr. Eggman. First off.
Here's
or
the
simply
thing.
Eggman.
Apparently Eggman was his nickname. Not his actual name. This is
contraire.
Wait, you did the article on.
Yeah,
on
I did the article on this. So, you know, not to brag. So he was always Eggman in Japan, never Eggman in America because they thought that name was stupid.
It is quite dumb.
It is very
same
dumb.
With they wanted to, like, Tails' name was Miles Prower, only that.
Right.
And when they found that out from the Sonic 2 Japanese team, the American team was like, that will not be his name. His his name should just be Tails. And then their thing was that they said, like, okay, officially he's Miles Tails
right.
is the nickname. Just so they could say, like, okay, fine. In the fictional birth certificate of Tails, it's Miles Prower, but just call him Tails. And that's why also you see in Sonic 2 there are some stages that have Miles written in graffiti in the background. That was them saying an F-U to Sega of America for wanting to call him Tails.
Right. But that seems weird because that means Tails was going around tagging stuff.
Yeah, he's a little naughtier than in Yuji Naka's world.
He's a little douchebag.
So, yeah, and like, but then pretty much Japan took over, say, the Sonic series with Adventures, which is also why it got stupider than I'm thinking. And that's when they just in one line in Sonic Adventures, he goes, hey there, Eggman. it's Dr. Ivo Robotnik. No, it's not. And he just called Eggman from then on. But anyway, all right.
Anyways, Dr. Robotnik. So let me tell you, in the games, he's boring. Like, he has no personality. You never see him or get any context because he doesn't really talk, right? And you know he wants the Chaos Emeralds, but what he plans to do with them is very open-ended.
He kind of snickers around. And
yeah, he kind of chuckles when you
he
when
grins
you
hit evilly.
He wants to do something with all those woodland creatures.
Yeah, well, he's like a sphere with a mustache pasted on top.
There's that infamous scene at the end of Sonic 2 where right before you fight Robotnik as the final boss.
As Super Sonic? Super Saiyan Sonic?
You don't get to fight him as Super Saiyan Sonic because there are no power rings to collect on the final stage.
Oh.
You actually chase him like down a hallway and then
he runs faster than you.
And he keeps up with you. Like you're running trying to catch him and he's just this fat ass just rolling along and he like outruns you and gets in the robot. You can't stop him. It's like, what?
What kind of blur is that?
Oh, man. He's fast.
This whole game has been a lie.
So why is he interesting in real life?
So check it out.
Or outside of life.
There are two cartoons with very different interpretations of Dr. Robotnik. But they're both awesome. The one that I prefer, and I think, Max, you can speak to this. The one from The Adventures of Sonic the Hedgehog.
The Chili Dog?
That was the worst.
Salvador Dali painting
made into...
I'll
give myself a promotion.
Yes.
So in that show, Robotnik has two main henchmen.
Hey, Dr.
Grounder
Robotnik!
And Scratch.
What's this? I think somebody just walked into the studio here. I don't know about that. Sonic's over there!
Get him!
I'm sure the listeners love that.
But it's hilarious to me that Robotnik, like, his life just sucks, and all he's trying to do is get Sonic. And they don't really explain in the show either, but he fails so often, and he can't even control the robots that he built. And he has all these weird subplots, like his mom comes to town one time and like starts screaming at him.
And she has a mustache, too.
Yeah. She looks like him, but in a dress. And he has like his own talk show at some point. Just all these weird things that make him such a rich character.
This is a really minor thing. One of my most standout memories of Robotnik from that particular Sonic show was there's this one scene. Robotnik like gets knocked through a brick wall in a house, and he like tumbles over the other side, and then there's like a close up of his face, but one of his eyes is like pulsing, like he's got a black eye face, and it's like pulsing, and he puts his fingers into his eye and pulls out just a whole brick. And it makes it horrible. Like, sound as he pulls it out of his eye. It's just so nasty.
I just remember him dressing as Santa Claus in the Christmas episode. A lot of things were fat guy jokes. He was just like,
he's very fat.
He's a large man.
Meanwhile, on Sonic AM, he was actually like, they tried to make him a fat Darth Vader.
Right.
Like,
he was proportioned a little bit better in the AM.
Yeah.
Darth Vader is the perfect comparison because he's super evil and he just like seethes all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And he's actually voiced by, I think, Jim Cummings is his name?
Yeah, that is correct.
He's the guy that does...
every character.
Every character.
Darkwing Duck, Winnie the Pooh, Tigger.
I always remember him as Pete.
Oh, yeah, Pete. He's Pete everywhere.
Yes.
Yeah.
Version of Robotnik is, like, legit super evil. And I think at one point he, like, makes Sonic watch as he's about to, like, shoot all his friends with lasers.
Well,
that was a much darker cartoon.
What I liked about Sonic AM is it's called in the fan community.
Sat-Am?
Sat-Am.
Sonic the Hedgehog AM is that, Robotnik is, like, really hard to beat. Like, Robotnik only really loses once in, like, the series finale where then his like sniveling henchman like takes over or something.
Well, that's the thing. Like Robotnik already won because the planet is like a dystopia.
Yeah, it's like 90% destroyed except
for rebels, like a small force fighting against Robotnik.
No, it's still Steve Urkel doing the voice. Julia White doing the voice in both.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
He really toned it down for that one.
Well, both shows had very different aims. And Sonic AM is more similar to the Archie comics, at least, that were being published at the same time. That's where they introduced Rotor, all of the dudes.
Robin? Who's the girl that everyone...
What, the sexy bunny?
Yeah. The, no, the
oh,
furry.
Sally Acorn.
Yes, Sally, yeah, Sally Acorn.
I was more into the cyborg bunny.
Bunny Rabbit. She, I think it was just her name.
She had Moxie.
Or it might have been Bunny Rabot.
And then there was like, and then there was,
it was a pun.
And then there was Alf. There's Alf,
don't
too.
Don't remember him. Well, never was, watched that show.
Do you know, from the Archie comics, I really hope I get this right, do you know what Ivor Robotnik's name was before he took the monochrome of Ivor Robotnik?
No, I do not. What? No. Please tell me.
I do believe. I
Herbert.
Really hope. Julian Kintobor.
Sounds like somebody is a big fan of the Archieverse.
Yeah. I would, yeah. I was.
What a weird last name.
Yeah. I was a big fan of the Archie comics. I would go to my local grocery store, and they would sell them, and my mom would read them to me.
Those
I,
Archie digests were so. They'd republish the same stories like a million times.
I own issue one. I still have issue one.
Oh, my God.
Mm. Oh, yeah. So Boomer Walrus. That's his name. Yeah. Did you know that he's gay? Did you not?
Fun facts.
It's not talked about all that much, but yeah, he's the first gay character in the Sonic verse. Yeah. Openly gay.
Progressive first.
Let's move on to another number. We've talked so long about Robotnik. But he definitely is way more interesting. He's just a dumb... He's better as a shitty, dumb character in Adventures of Sonic than he is in current Sonic games. And he's a better villain in Sonic AM than he is in the old Sonic games.
You said it perfect.
Number six, Roll from Mega Man.
Yes. So the way the Mega Man show worked is instead of making Mega Man and Roll kids, they're teenagers now. And in doing that, they made Roll go from the most stereotypical sexist, little girl who does all the housework into teenager who's, trying to fight by Mega Man's side. Lend a hand, as it were.
That vacuum hand.
That vacuum hand. So,
well, anything can come out of there. It's a bit like Penny's computer book.
It's exactly like she is Penny, basically.
She could suck in stuff and shoot it out.
Correct. Right? She can, there's a vacuum which can take projectiles and spin it back. And at one point, she even, absorbs all of Gutsman. just his whole body. There's a
Guts
drill.
Gutsman, you mean?
It's not, Gutsman?
Not his last name.
There's a power saw she can do. She has, a heat ray at some point. So it's not a bust, a mega buster per se, but it still has combat capabilities.
Well, it had a Saturday morning cartoon logic of just, this can do anything.
What do the writers need for this situation?
What do the animators need for this scene? It will do it.
I think she sucked up Cutman's
cutter
things. Mm-hmm. That would chop your hand off.
Meanwhile, in the games, Roll is a robot Dr. Light built to sweep things.
Literally said, I'm going to bring this AI into existence and tell it to just clean my house every day.
And
the
have
room
her,
and a vacuum.
How vain do you have to be? I will give birth to artificial life, and then I'm going to have it sweep up the floor.
He built another guy that's just basically a trunk with legs.
Tree man.
Dr.
No, no. I meant Eddie.
Eddie.
Trunk.
Well,
I meant,
Eddie could store things in his head.
Yeah.
And carry him around.
Yeah. I bet he'd like arms.
Eddie was basically a portable cooler.
He
shoot out the energy
in
tank.
The cartoon Mega Man would drink them.
They kind of gave up on that halfway through, because they were real heavy about Mega Man's gonna use his power gun. He has to drink the energy drink otherwise he's gonna run out of power, and then later on they're just whatever, he just shoots stuff. Whatever.
But Roll actually has some agency in the show, where it's Mega Man, go do this thing. Roll, you go protect this person.
I feel like she must have said girl power at some point. It was a very it was a 90s style of women empowerment.
But
she was cool. I liked her on the show. Roll's biggest deal in the games is being a joke character in Marvel vs. Capcom, just being the 2 pixels tall.
Yeah, I actually loved playing as her in the original Marvel vs. Capcom, because winning with her felt so, it was
Maximum Spider is just gonna miss that.
It does whiff. Her hitbox is very small. She has really good appearances though in the Legends series, the Mega Man Legends series.
What, you guys and your weird
Air Pirate,
your weird belief that Legends is good.
Legends is well, like, Ro was a key part of that game. She talked on the radio.
Well,
to
and
you
she
when
could
you
be
down
a,
the dungeon.
She could be
she
a,
flew the ship and she made you things.
And she wasn't your sister, so she could
wasn't
be a love interest.
That's oh,
oh, that's ew. A little. Anyway, I don't know about that.
Goes around, comes around.
I don't know. Also, if you can change the lore with
also, she got to keep her name. Like she got to stay Role in America.
Yeah, and
like,
he wasn't Rock anymore.
They didn't change her to. They didn't change her to Mega Girl or something.
Yeah.
But that was a fun meeting.
Yeah.
But what? So it was probably just like two dudes going like, hey, we're about to publish the NES game. Yeah, keep it roll. Okay. Oop,
done. Yeah. That's easy.
They didn't have meetings about this. They didn't realize they'd be stuck with it for 30 more years. Number five, everyone, Tower of Draga. Aegis of Uruk.
Okay, so this one's very complicated because both the game and the anime are hella obscure, but that's why I like them.
TLDR.
TLDR, the first Tower of Draga was a damsel in distress situation where you're just a knight saving a maiden from a demon. That's it. Mm. But this anime picks up, I believe, 60 or 80 years after the events of the game for whatever reason.
Uh-huh.
And instead of Gilgamesh, who's the knight from the first game, you are Gil or Jill? I think it's Jill.
Gilgamesh. I was going to.
I got it.
He has a full, I don't know why I'm saying you because you don't play this. It's an anime.
Uh-huh.
But Jill has a full party of people by his side, and they're all just so much more interesting than just some knight trying to save some maiden. That's stupid.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm.
And my favorite of them is a female lancer who is very soft-spoken and quiet and gets embarrassed about stuff easily, but then in combat is just owning up face and smacking everybody. Mm. That's cool.
Yeah, I like video game anime from that era. I'm guessing it's a 90s OVA.
No, it's actually it's from I think like 2006.
Really?
Yeah,
wow, that's a surprise.
And also, fun fact: you can watch the whole thing with subs on YouTube, and it's not illegal.
Because like, what on YouTube, yeah, it's but yeah, that's how they did in the Final Fantasy V OVA they put out, and I call it OVA because that's what they call it in Japan. I know it's called original video animation in Japan. It is not called original animated videos, as they sometimes are referred to as OAVs, but it's OVAs. Anyway, I watched the Final Fantasy V OVA, and that one like is over 100 years later. Every character from the previous game is dead, but we're hanging around in the same areas, and we'll meet the ghost of one of them. I'm like, that was it. Like, it was like,
yeah, that's kind of how this works too. Like, Gilgamesh is the king in this setting. But the characters are just, like, completely made up and new.
I wonder if both of those cases, the game creators, the developers just told, like, the anime people to get bent. They're just like, you can't touch our characters. You write no new stories for our characters.
I don't know. It's weird, too, because the show thematically bounces between comedy and total seriousness in medieval fantasy.
Anime's known for weird tonal shifts. Like, all right, number five for Candy Kong from Donkey Kong Country. All right, this is the one I have a problem with because...
Hello.
All right, the Donkey Kong Country CG show is one of the worst things I have ever seen.
It's not that bad. I watched an episode...
It is hideous. Hideous.
You judge by looks, Henry? Come on.
I judge by the terror... Like, all right, what's the... Oh, God, where was the big song in that one where, like,
there are a lot
I'm
going to
be a star.
Look, it's a kid's cartoon. It's made in Canada.
Even worse.
But let me... The setup here is that Donkey Kong Country, the original game, Candy Kong is literally just a primate in a swimsuit who saves your game and, like, poses for you. All she does.
Mm-hmm.
Then she came back for Donkey Kong 64. She sells you instruments, so that's something at least a little interesting. But she's got this weird outfit of like a tube top. No, a tank top and like a short skirt.
Well, like a spaghetti strap tank top. Like, yeah.
Yeah, and it's very risque. It's like, is a kid going to process this correctly? Or?
They like having their jollies at Rare.
Something daddy. Keep playing that Donkey Kong game, boy. Why don't you go save a game? I don't want to be losing any progress now.
Oh, God. Oh, Jesus.
Oh, musical.
Oh, here comes the coming YouTube up here. Ad. Here comes a pre-roll.
Yep. What are you going to
do? Oh, Jesus.
This feels Canadian.
Don't let Sophia hear you say that. See, no one here has a problem with this. Is this Rick James?
God.
Anyway, anywho, that was really good. So that's a very, very reductive character to be having.
Yes.
In the original series. In the show, they say, why don't we make Candy Kong feel, you know, like an individual who has her own life besides just, I'm going to save your game and be pretty. Mm-hmm. So in the show, she has a job making the barrels that you see all over Donkey Kong Island, which is, that's kind
of
cool.
It's a big part of the island.
Because it's like, where did all these barrels come
from? Yeah, it sounds thankless because those barrels explode a lot.
Anti-gravity barrels.
Yeah.
And she's not just, she doesn't exist like just to wait on Donkey Kong. I watched a full episode of this, 4 weddings and a coconut.
clever.
So that's a Saturday morning humor.
You guys can, at home, you can watch along.
You can. Uh-huh. And she actually proposes to Donkey Kong, which is, that was interesting. I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
That's progressive right there.
And she has, they chopped up, I like her haircut in the show.
Yeah, she's still wearing, like, I guess skimpy clothing, but it's not like super sexualized like it is in the games.
It's also weird that she gets more sexualized the more clothing she wears compared to like the almost nude or at least pantless, like all the dudes. Like, well, Funky Kong wears pants, doesn't he?
He does. He wears shorts, I believe.
Because he's totally tubular, bro.
But yeah. Candy Kong, she has her own job, she has her own wants and needs.
All right, you convince me. Also, because Candy Kong has just been like, she's not invited to Donkey Kong Country Returns. Like, they, it's a limited cast in those. Like, they, I wonder if Nintendo looked at her like, she's not coming back. Like, this opens up a lot of conversations we don't want to have. Like, so
yeah, don't do a Google image search of Candy Kong, or you'll see some interesting things.
It's pretty much the same as if you search for Crystal from Star Fox Adventure.
Oh, Jesus.
Which, hey, no judgments. If that's good for you, that's cool. Maybe other people don't want to see that in their Google results. Turn safe search on. That's all I'm saying. Number 3, Peter Puppy from Earthworm Jim.
Yes. So I like the Earthworm Jim games.
I liked it
in theory.
Yeah.
Playing them kind of sucks sometimes.
What?
And that is especially true in the Peter Puppy.
Oh, yeah. He's the escort puppy. Like, he just kind of skips along.
Yeah, he's the escort puppy in 1. And in 2, he's
the marshmallow.
The reason, yeah, you have
like
the marshmallow trampoline
yes.
game, which is like ridiculously hard for a game aimed at kids. And what happens is Peter Puppy is usually this cute little dog who just skips around in the buff. He's pink.
He's pink.
But when you do something to anger him or he feels threatened, then he turns into like a
giant monster.
Demon dog.
Who kills you.
Bites the crap out of you. Yeah. He usually, it does like a quarter of your health every time, so you can only mess up so many times.
All of Earthworm Jim is too difficult. Like, it's way too hard of a game. And second, Earthworm Jim 2 is one of the weirdest games I've ever played because it's like, it seems like they just hired 3 different companies, like, make 3 different games and we will glue them together.
It changes so wild.
It's like,
all right,
some of these will be a normal Earthworm Jim stage. Some will be an isometric shooter, like shmup.
Right.
Some will be a ripoff of the Game & Watch game Fire with bouncing puppies on marshmallows. It'll be whatever. Who cares?
Yeah. Freeform jazz, this game.
Yeah.
But in the show, he's actually a super likable sidekick to Earthworm Jim. They gave him clothes. They changed his fur color from tan. They gave him a shirt. And moreover, they gave him a personality of, like, he's very timid and he's kind of, for lack of a better word, emo.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
So there's a funny clip on YouTube of him just being like, oh, my God, the world is so cruel. And then he starts, like, pouring ketchup on the table and smearing jam on himself for no reason. And the idea is that he doesn't want to make himself angry. So he's either super sad or super happy all the time. Because if he gets angry, then he's gonna
Hulk out.
Yeah, he's gonna Hulk out.
And he usually attacks Jim first.
Yeah,
like, right. I remember there was a real funny scene where he was fighting Psychro, and then
also Jim Cummings. By
yep.
the way.
and then Earthworm Jim, played by Dan Castellaneta, he draws a face of Earthworm Jim and glues it onto Psychro's head, so then Peter Puppy finally like attacks the right guy, the bad guy for once.
It's clever.
It was a funny show. I also like Princess What's Her Name was always Princess What's Her Name. Like nobody remembered it. The Queen Slug for a Butt was played by Andrea Martin of SCTV. Like they put a lot more work into that show than they needed to. Like
I want to get the DVD.
It was a very funny show. It was it released on DVD?
Yeah,
I believe. At least a year.
I have the Earthworm Jim. It's in my Amazon wish list.
Are we about to have a viewing party?
I might need to pull the trigger on a
Netflix marathon.
One other Earthworm Jim cartoon joke I remember really loving was the that they go to the White House. They go in the room and they're like, "Mr. President," and they're trying to talk to the president. They cut to the president, who's just a plain dude. Just like he looks like no president ever, and then Earthworm Jim goes, "Wait, you're not the president." And he says, "Well, I'm a nondescript president, so they can rerun this whenever, and it's not stuck at any time for me."
That show really has the same vibe as like The Tick to me.
Yeah.
It's goofy and fun.
All right. Number two, Princess Peach, as seen in Super Mario Adventures.
Yes, this was a comic that ran in
a
Nintendo
manga.
Power. Oh, pardon me. Pardon me. A manga. In the pages of Nintendo Power, and it's basically a few stories. It's not really a saga or anything, but it starts off with the normal situation of Bowser has captured Peach. He's trying to marry her, which is a wrinkle to it, but like only a few issues in, Peach just says like, "F this, I'm out of here," fights back against the Koopalings, grabs those yellow capes that Mario gets from the feathers in Super Mario World, and just floats right out of the castle, just to safety. Like no, Mario's not even involved in her escape. So that's pretty awesome. Then Mario ends up effing up and gets captured, and then Peach is the one that comes back to rescue him.
Oh no!
Is Super Princess Peach?
Yeah, it's Super Princess Peach.
Yeah. Now here's the thing: in Super Princess Peach, you attack using emotions, which I think is a problem a lot of people had with the game.
It's problematic, yes.
Yeah, she like cries to attack, and the game's not difficult at all.
She gets real angry. She makes like a Super Saiyan flame around her.
Though it's a relatively rare game. I had to pay like 40, 50 bucks for it a few years ago.
My sister loved that game. She's nice. Like, "Did you play this game?"
Sounds like your sister's a noob, man.
She is pretty much a noob.
But yeah, it is. It feels sexist to make, like, oh, she's a woman, so she can only fight back using her crazy emotions.
Yeah, am I right, guys?
In the manga, she actually...
No, I'm not right.
She switches clothes with Luigi, so Luigi goes into the castle in Peach's dress, and they think they've captured Peach.
Naturally.
And then all of a sudden, Peach comes out with the Luigi's green overalls on. She's like, "What's up now?" And she's got a bomb. And she's like, "I'm going to blow up everyone here."
A Bob bomb?
No, just a bomb.
It isn't a Bob bomb. Nope.
It is a classic cartoon bomb. And she's like, "I will blow this place sky high if you guys don't release Mario." Mm-hmm. And that is bad arse, if I may.
Yeah, I think, they use that plot again in Mario and Luigi Superstar Saga. There's a bit where they free Princess Peach by trading clothes. Actually, Luigi just dresses up like Peach, and Peach just runs away. And it leads to some pretty funny sprites you can find out there. And second, I swear I've seen online that some people had a real sexual awakening as a kid when they saw Peach in that Luigi outfit. They're like, I've read that a lot of guys were like, "What? Wait, girls can dress like..."
Hold on.
"What? Huh? What?
Hold the phone."
yeah, all right.
It just gives Peach more to do other than go, "Mario, Mario."
Yeah, she only finally got to be another playable character and not a victim in Super Mario 3D World. Like, yeah. She's like,
took
no, I'm not. Yeah, she's like, I'm not kidnapped again. I'm a playable character, just like in Super Mario 2. See? I got fireball powers now, and I put my hair in a ponytail. Pretty cool, huh? Number one, Meowth from Pokemon, the animated series.
So let me start by saying, when I encountered Meowth in the games, I was really disappointed that I was like, it was just, oh, it's just another Pokemon. It's not going to talk to me.
A low-level guy, you level up into a Persian and the cat. It is. You don't level it up into the person of the ethnicity of a Persian. You level it up into the Pokemon-type Persian. And then you never do anything with it because both are useless.
It's useless. Yeah, like suck. Claw, and then what? No.
Yeah. Money. You throw the money at them.
Yeah, you have the payday. That was like the only interesting thing about me.
I earned
payday to the heist.
I earned all those Pokebucks. I ain't throwing them away at some fight with a Pidgey.
Payday.
Oh, no. Payday generated money.
Oh, okay.
When you would use the attack, it was like throw coins around, and then at the end of the fight, you picked up the coins.
Oh, what's the one that throws your money?
That was in Final Fantasy VII. There's one of the materia you could get.
Right.
Rogue Guild.
Assassin's Creed, you can do that too.
Anyway,
in the Pokemon the Animated Series, Meowth goes from, he's just some Pokemon too. He is basically the missing link between Pokemon and humanity, because there's a whole episode dedicated to how he became who he is, and it is legit dramatic and sad. Like, I was feeling bad.
Okay.
I was
break it down.
Tearing up a little
break
bit.
It down.
Didn't he use
I
all
watched
his,
it as well.
He used all his skill points to learn.
He'll never
no,
level
not
up.
Not even that.
All right. So,
I can basically say the full episode if you guys want
to
tell
it.
The
Go
listeners.
Quick,
so and us.
There's Meowth. He has to live on the streets because he has no owner. And there's basically, like, you know how cats can be feral and just roam around?
Oh, yeah.
He has to join like a gang, basically, led by a Persian cat.
Mm-hmm.
And then he sees a fancy cat, mm-hmm. and he falls in love instantly.
Fancy
Meowth, excuse me. And she wants nothing to do with him because she's too prissy and rich.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Her owner has a diamond-encrusted Pokeball that she keeps her in. So this Meowth, is dejected, and he's having trouble getting food. He doesn't have shelter. And he keeps getting...
He gets beat up a lot.
He gets... the way they intro him is like he thought a bucket of baseballs at batting practice were rice balls. So what the coach does when he catches him is ties him up in rope to a tree and has all the kids swing bats at him like a pinata, which is insane. If you did that to a cat, you'd be a monster.
If somebody recorded, put it on YouTube, yeah,
you would
be,
go to jail.
Be getting some phone calls.
Knocks
on the door.
Yeah. PTA would come down on you pretty hard.
Yeah.
Meowth is feeling very sad, but in the abandoned attic that he lives in, because he has nowhere else to go, he lives above a training, like a fancy schmancy house where, what do they call it? Like...
Well, like debutante training or whatever. I'm just like, it's where they're teaching you diction and you walk with a book on your head and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
All that.
Balance, poise, and manners. So he
etiquette.
Teaches
etiquette.
Himself how to walk on two legs, first of all. Because he's like, well, if I want to make it as a Pokemon, I got to be like the humans and walk on two legs.
Sure.
What I just said made no sense.
Right.
But I'm going with it.
Uh-huh.
He also teaches himself how to read English, and the first word that he learned is rocket, so that's why he joined Team Rocket in the first place.
Uh-huh.
He sought them out.
Uh-huh.
Anyways, he does all this stuff that no Pokemon has ever done before or since, even like Mewtwo. He can't talk.
He can't speak English.
Yeah, he can communicate telepathically.
Yeah, but that's for the birds.
That is for the birds.
So Meowth does all that. He goes to the girl, and she's like, nope. You're still not interesting to me.
Okay.
And he's
well,
it's
see,
like the saddest thing
she
in the world.
She doesn't just say that. She's like, well, now you're not a playmeowth anymore. You're a freak.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to date a freak. Like, it just laughs in his face.
it's so messed up. And it's really deep for a kid show, because at the end of that episode, it's Meowth on the roof staring up at the moon, and he's like, I wonder if she's looking at the moon too. And then he just cries, and that's the end of the episode. It's so sad, but it's so much more interesting than just, oh, look, another Pokemon.
I like, I also remember in that episode, he says, when he's starting to learn how to talk, he's like, meow, 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 meow. It's. Yeah, so he just leveled up as far as he could, used all his skill points, and yeah. he can never become a Persian. So.
He used all his skill points.
I think what happened there was they just Team Rocket is a very, I love Team Rocket, but they are a very stock anime trope of the bumbling idiots who bother them every episode and get blown up and then have to come back, and they needed all three of them to talk. So I think the animators just like first episode were like. Yeah, they have a dude. They have a Pokemon with them that is the other bumbling idiot that talks. Like, really? I don't know. Why does he talk? Who cares? They're just making an anime. Who cares?
But then they gave some depth. Added it in later. Retcon.
All right. So that was our lengthy discussion of the Definitely Faster Than Last Week's Top 7. But as the Top 7 characters who are infinitely more interesting outside of games. And we have a new Top 7 every Monday. On GamesRadar.com.
Next week for Max.
Mm-hmm. I'm up next week.
Exciting. And also what we do every week are four live streams, mm-hmm. which you should be checking out. We do it from 3:30 to 5 every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And this week we had Lorenzo and I had fun with Super Mario 64.
Yep, and we played some Bloodborne, gave away Story of Seasons, a special autographed copy.
Ooh.
What did we do on Monday, Lucas?
We played Yakuza 0.
We played Yakuza 0, one of our import games. So we play all kinds of random games.
How good did you do in that game with that?
It's really hard, and the game was like, do you want to turn it to easy at one point? And I said, yes. Yes, I do.
And we couldn't understand anything that was happening.
When you were playing, was this the one set in samurai times?
No. That's Way of the Samurai, I think.
Okay, so Zero set in the 80s, right?
It's the prequel.
And the,
when they had beepers.
Yeah, when they had pagers.
Well, Lucas, did you drop any of your I've been to Tokyo knowledge on the
I did.
Thing?
I forget in what context.
Did you go to Shibuya?
No, we didn't get that far.
Shibuya.
Where else
Shibuya.
Were you then?
Shibuya.
Roll call.
I don't remember.
Ikebukuro.
The prefecture.
Akihabara.
It wasn't Akiba's trip.
That game is effed up, but it was so fun to play that. And that maybe it was
in
because
that
I had
short period of
maybe
time.
It's because I had not slept in 39 hours, but. Seeing that game in action, it just made me go like, I was just there. I love this. Jan was not excited at all for that game.
Hated it.
Yep, watch the streams on Twitch all the time, guys. It's like a podcast, but live.
Yeah.
We interact with
and we
you.
Give you stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Check it out.
All right, taking a break. Now it's time, when we come back, for the current events and reviews and stuff.
Radio Radar is brought to you in part by Audible.com, where you can download audiobooks like Extra Lives, Why Video Games Matter, and Ready Player One. Download a free audiobook today at audibletrial.com/gamesradar.
Hey, welcome back, guys.
Woo!
It's time for the music-free current events. Boom, 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 ding, doof.
I don't like that song.
Boom,
so long.
All right.
Let's do it longer with our mouths.
News. There was a big Nintendo Direct this week. Boy, oh boy, on Wednesday.
Boy, howdy.
What a big Nintendo Direct. Like, first off.
Which kind of came out of nowhere, right?
Ahead of, well, they always do. Nobody expects a Nintendo Direct more than 24 hours before they happen. But a little ahead of it, which, like, this news, I was kicking myself last week on the podcast because right after we got out, we find out, hey, Zelda got delayed. Like, so he was like, Zelda just got delayed. Yeah. Write a story right now. Somebody needs to. But yeah, like, Zelda is not coming out. Zelda Wii U now sounds like. He wouldn't even say 2016. He was just like, this is not in 2015 anymore. And the more I thought about his Eiji Aonuma's wording on it, it was like, we have these great ideas that we want to implement and that's more important than getting it out this year. This feels like when Twilight Princess became a Wii game. And if NX is coming out next year, I have a feeling Zelda Ooh. Wii U just became an NX game.
Oh,
yes. That's what I'm feeling.
It was funny, right after this happened, Thomas came up to, or one of our video guys, Thomas, came up to me and he's like, hey, Lorenzo, looks like we're not buying Wii U's this year. we've just been waiting for Zelda to come out to buy a Wii U.
You may never buy a Wii U.
Yeah, never buy a Wii U. I don't know.
But then when so I think they got that out to get the bad news out ahead of time, because clearly it was filmed in the Nintendo Direct style of just like Aonuma against a white background and with the subtitles, and yet in this one it was like it's all happy news and Iwata shows up. It's the start of the new fiscal year, so I think that was for Nintendo anyway. So I think maybe that's why it was on April Fool's Day, which was weird.
Interesting
timing.
Choice.
Japan loves April Fool's Day, by the way. They do it. They like some of the best stuff I saw came from Japan. Like, which we don't have any April Fools talking here because I don't think I saw any good joke
the
game ones.
The U.S. ones are pretty scarce.
Yeah, I think because they were afraid of getting like understood or people thinking it's real. But all right, so they first up was Smash Brothers DLC and a lot of it, like one that Mewtwo's coming on the 15th for Club Nintendo members, April 28th for everybody else.
So is it that they get a download code?
You'll get a
or
download
they just
code.
Get
you'll be sent a download code.
So I mean, what I mean is, can you redeem it before anyone can buy it?
Yeah, you'll get your download code on the 15th. Boy, if one were to sell their download code on eBay, I bet it would go for much more than $5. If you could just wait 2 weeks to download Mewtwo for $5, I bet one could make a lot of money off eBay. If they were going to get a Mewtwo code or something, I'm not saying I did. And they also brought back Lucas.
Whoop.
Of Mother 3, the game
Banned
that never came
Ed
out.
Evo. Oh. Lucas. Is.
Really? Because he's too new.
Too new.
He's Mewtwo.
Really?
Too new.
They already called it, huh?
Yeah, they're already calling it.
What about Mewtwo?
So I think Mewtwo's still okay.
So he'll only be out in June. That's when Lucas will be coming. And then and they announced something I'm surprised they didn't announce earlier, the DLC costumes for your Mii Fighter. So no costumes for everybody else, like only for Mii Fighters, and the ones there, like you can buy a Smash Brothers T-shirt for your Mii Fighter. You can,
okay,
you
sounds
can
exciting.
Buy a full body cat suit, a full body monkey suit, and
most people associate me with my full body monkey suit.
There was a
Legend of Zelda,
there's
Link suit with a cap and a Majora's Mask,
Skull Kid,
and lastly. There were two more. Dunban from Xenoblades.
That was Xenoblade. A cool one, actually. Yeah.
And Mega Man X and Proto Man. Yep. Yeah, outfits for both of those basically make you look exactly like those guys. And make your Mii Fighter look like those guys. So that's cool. Pricing's odd because it's like 75 cents on either system or $1.15. To own them on both systems, like
who
it's
in the world is playing the 3DS one still. Now that the
I don't
Wii U
know
the people, non-Wii U owners,
people on the road, like touring musicians,
yeah.
I guess
truckers,
truckers. Touring
truckers.
Musicians,
a lot of truckers, touring musicians, children without any friends,
and also they opened up a ballot so you could vote for whatever character you want to be in Smash Bros. DLC, and I'm sure they will listen to. The 8 million, like, there's not even a limit on how many times you can vote.
They'll
like,
just make a big graph.
Yeah.
We got this many votes. Here we go. Goku.
Yeah.
There it is.
If it actually is democratic, they're like, yep, the one with the most will do it. We'll make it happen.
It's Goku.
That's not going to happen.
That will
they're basically
going
to be like, hey, Sakura, here's the list. It's going to be like,
he's going to be like, okay,
I like
cool.
the 32nd one.
Yeah. Oh, the 40th one on this list was the one I wanted to do. So we'll just
Someone's
say, like,
doing
it. It's, hey, but, and then that way, whenever the new character does come out, they can just be like, this is the one you guys asked for. You, one guy on the list who was not one of our people who wrote it in.
Okay, but there was more than Smash Brothers. They also announced Amiibo cards that will be coming with a new Animal Crossing game, Happy Home Designer. Cool. Well, home designing in Animal Crossing is one of my least favorite things. Maybe this says something about me as a person, but when I get home in Animal Crossing, The stuff I don't sell, I dump on the floor and then go back out. I'm like, this is added to my collection. Now I'm going to go back and collect more things. I don't know. I guess I have a separate bed. Yeah. Yeah. So there's that. And then they announced that a bunch of new Amiibo as well, including a Dr. Mario one I'm very stoked for. And even the Inklings of Splatoon are getting their own Amiibo. Yeah,
and Yoshi's and Woolly
World. Oh, man, those crocheted Woolly World ones. Those look the best. I bet they'll make like 500 of them. And just be,
people kill each other.
As Ashley wrote about this week, like this was an Amiibo apocalypse of when they started opening pre-orders. Because, again, even after the giant mess that the last retail exclusive ones were, they're still doing it with this one. Like Toys R Us, Best Buy, GameStop.
I mean, they probably signed those deals.
Nintendo needed to break those deals immediately, or they need to make triple what they made last time. Like Nintendo has a great problem right now that their stuff is wanted too much, but they still need to ramp up production. also, they announced an update for codename Steam, which fixes one of its biggest problems, which is you could not fast forward through the enemy turns.
It was so cool. I read your review, and then they showed that, and I was like, this addresses the exact problem.
Let's see. And then, big time exciting for me. Boy, oh boy. Well, actually, I was so excited by most of this, but like, big time for me was two new Fire Emblem trailers. All right, so Fire SMT, Shin Megami Tensei Cross Fire Emblem, is in a really weird position now where the game is like, it's not even really that. Like, it has concepts of both, and apparently Fire Emblem characters will appear in it, but like, it's all new characters. It seems more like if you asked the Persona team to make a Fire Emblem game. And so, like, there's Fire Emblem magic and turns and stuff in it, but it's about Japanese teenagers in high school. And, like, there's a giant, the big cuts anime scene at the end, it is super anime, that trailer, is them fighting it out in Shibuya, like, in front of the 109 building, the famous 109 building in Shibuya. And, like, you would never, ever see such specific places referenced in a Nintendo game. But in an Atlas game, that's just par for the course.
Go nuts.
So, yeah, it's the perfect game. For me,
period. It's perfect.
For some reason, but so it still has no real English name. In Japan, it is called Illusionary Revelations #FE.
What's up with the hashtag game name?
Yeah. I don't know.
There was the other Vita one that was like,
it's very weird.
Imhotep.
Meanwhile, there's the new Fire Emblem for 3DS, which doesn't have a name in America yet either. Really need to get them. Like,
I know they like
America,
at the end of the show, they just hold on that Fire Emblem, and you're like, here it comes. It's gonna like whoosh, and the subtitle is gonna nope.
Well, and it's such plain text too. Like, because you know, they haven't finished. Like, they haven't designed the American logo to go like, hey, in Japan, is this a good logo? No. All right, let's do it again.
Do it again.
In Japan, it's called Fire Emblem IF, and it also is
leaves it open.
It's about a split storyline. Things go, you can either pick the white side or the black side.
Whoa.
Let's keep Race out of this.
Hold on.
It's Nor or
Hoshido,
maybe. I remember Nor because that one is like noir, which is the French word for black. But it is a color. I'm saying a color, guys. Anyway, so the one, Nor, is more difficult version, and the white one is easier. And also, like, they're apparently very similar. They're different stories, and like, characters will be different depending on which direction you go in the game. And now, this is the really complicated part. They were talking about it like it's one game in America. It's like, yeah, it's just a game with two campaigns. Play one and then the other. It's because it's coming out sooner in Japan. They announced, because both those Fire Emblem games are coming out in Japan this year, in America next year. And I get that. They have a lot to translate. But since it's coming out in Japan, they announced all the editions of it, and it has four editions.
Four?
What?
I thought it was two.
No. So there are two there's two boxed editions, one that is Nor.
Episodic. Here we go.
One that's Nor and one that's
let's get the fucking flowchart out and figure out how to play this fire.
One that's Nor and one that's Hoshido, and they have only those campaigns on it, and then you can pay money for the DLC of the other campaign plus a third campaign that apparently takes place after either of them.
Oh god.
Okay, so you have those two versions. Then you have a download version which you play up to you download it off the eShop, you play up to chapter 6, and then you pick which side you want to go on, and that's the version of the game you're going to play, and then you can buy the DLC of the other version should you choose to. So there's that eShop one that's either version. You pick when you feel like it. Then there's a special edition.
There's more.
Then there's a special edition which comes with art book and soundtrack and all that.
Sure. Oh.
Also has both campaigns on the cartridge, and you get the third version, the third storyline DLC for free, and collectible cards that are amiibo cards. So
this is complicated.
Yes,
as hell.
I am really hoping that in America they will not be that complicated.
Well, they. I mean, it sounds like what they would do is just take the special edition version, make that the card.
That should just be the American version, yeah. But yeah, though, because. The days, Pokemon still does it, but the days of non-Pokemon games having two versions are pretty much over, right? Like, that doesn't really happen anymore.
It's not a thing.
But either way, I'm so excited for both of those games. Oh, two Fire Emblem games, like, that to me makes the wait. They're not too similar, but it makes the wait between Zelda so much easier when I know two different Fire Emblem games are going to be coming out, like... Boy, oh boy.
You were working from home when we covered that, Henry, and we all imagined you just at home going, ah.
I think I did. I typed in once. So we were calling the videos, and we didn't know what the next one was going to be, but it said in HipChat, Henry, you take this. And the second I heard the music and then saw, like, the animation style, I knew it was SMT. And I wrote in HipChat, like, holy crap! I also thought it was going to happen because Atlas was, like, winking a lot on their Twitter. They're just like, you guys might want to watch the Nintendo Direct today. Though I thought it might just be – they're putting out a couple 3DS games in the next couple months, so I just assumed it would be that. All right.
More than you bargained.
More news. God, there's still more news. Last thing is they're updating Street Pass. Finally, more Street Pass games. Woo!
I'm down for angling.
Well, because that also means more hats. Like,
well, more dots.
When in the Street Pass games before, like, I was surprised by which one I liked or which ones like warmed up to, because when I started, I thought the only one I really liked was the shooter. But then as I went on, I was like, no, this Haunted House one's the bomb. And then I was like, you know what, even this plants one isn't so bad.
The Rock, Paper, Scissors one's garbage all the way.
Oh, what, the army one?
Yeah, yeah. Because it's just grinding it out for building up your army.
Well, it's just like, oh, guess. Oh, you guess wrong? Too bad.
And then later, it's, oh, you got the powers to beat this instantly? All right, you did it.
Cool. Yeah. Good thing you had the coins to buy the thing to tell you who to fight. Awesome. I didn't care. I got them tickets, baby. And got me some hats. That means more hats are coming.
You know, Chris Hoffman has an army of like 9,999,000.
I do too.
Looks like I haven't been checking.
Hey, I haven't done anything with that game in a long time. I beat all those, like, I mean, it sounds like a brag, but I beat all those, like,
hold
the
on,
first
hold
one.
On. Did you get the super ghost hat in the ghost hunt?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
I beat all those a long time ago.
Did
I
you beat
touched...
all the puzzle boxes? Because those were hard.
All right, no,
hell.
I didn't.
I mean,
didn't
neither
beat
did
every,
I.
I didn't
not
beat
saying.
Every puzzle box. There, I think I have three hats unclaimed, but, eh. All right, but that's what I liked about the tickets was you could pick which hats you wanted. So all I have left are the hats I don't want. Like, yeah. Absolutely. All right. So, yeah, I am so excited. Like, next week, man. Oh, boy. New hats. Oh, Street Pass. Oh, boy. But they still didn't announce the Street Pass games. I thought, like, there's still this Street Pass game in Japan that has not been announced yet.
Oh, really?
Yeah. What are you guys? Okay, what's going on?
We were
are passing notes here.
Fact checking was happening, and I was right. Julian Kintobor was Dr. Robotnik's dad. Julian Kintobor,
he looks
the,
awesome.
The House of Ivo.
The shoulder pads.
Well, one of his arms is roboticized. He had an accident with the roboticizer.
He's jacked.
He's got one metal arm.
Of the like, House of Ivo.
That's right. That's why, and that's why he took the name Ivo Robotnik.
Did I miss anything else from the Nintendo Direct?
No, not really.
Okay. Boy. All right, so. Other news, let's get this out of the way.
Oh, wait, Fatal Frame 5.
Oh, yeah. I thought that would never come here because Nintendo skipped like two Fatal Frame games that were on the Wii. Just like, America doesn't want this. And who cares? The Wii has so many games, we don't need this. Cut to today. The Wii needs any game it has. I don't care. This will be the most Japanese game of all time. Put it on.
Give me games.
This we need
Zelda's delayed. Yeah. We need anything and everything. Let's go.
All hands on deck. On. All hands on deck.
If we don't put out,
who's got games? Who's got games?
If we don't put out Fatal Frame, there will literally not be a game for 4 months. We gotta put it out. Like and they didn't show any Star Fox. I expected Star Fox. Yeah. There wasn't any.
That was odd.
All right. Also, in a just a development about Kojima and Silent Hills. Kojima Studios logo is off the Silent Hills webpage, so that's also could just be because Kojima Studios no longer exists. Like, it's not called that anymore, which Koji Pro is not a thing.
So what I'm picturing is he had his own studio, and then he did something that was, like, out of line. Like, he ignored the CEO's email or something.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, we're not going to fund your own company, so you still work for us by contract, but... you don't get special treatment anymore, so we're taking away your toy.
Maybe he went a bridge too far of saying, like, hey, guys, I need $3 million more dollars for this thing. Why? Because I'm Kojima. Just give it to me. And they finally said, we're not the company that does that anymore. Like, we can't do that, Kojima. Sorry. Well, I'm going to talk all about it on my Twitter where I tweet pictures of my lunch all the time. You know you won't. And, like, they pull up his contract and be like, see? Read that contract.
Fine
sound
line.
Effect work. I look forward to a year from now when he's like independent Kojima and just giving interviews left and right saying, like, here's what really happened. F this place. I am going to go to my Kickstarter.
And kickstart my stealth top-down
action espionage.
Yeah.
Called what would you call it?
Snake biter.
Metallic.
Metallic
cogs.
Metallic cog. Substantial.
Yes.
Substantial.
All right. And also, PlayStation Home is no more. Finally happened. Boy, do you guys remember when they announced PlayStation Home and they were like, this is the game changer. Yeah. Like, this,
it was a big deal.
It was like really central to their GDC presentation. Like, Phil Harrison was so proud of it. And Phil Harrison was gone before PlayStation Home launched. And it felt just like, this is a dead thing. Like,
it was going to be like DOA. Second Life. But then you were going to live like inside your PlayStation.
You'd earn trophies. You'd earn trophies and
dive
the trophies
right
would be in
you
your
know how
home.
Much kids love The Sims. Well, we got Sims in the PlayStation.
And you can spend money on costumes for your home character. And you can stand in a virtual line to play pool.
Remember when it first launched and people learned that you had to stand in line at the arcades? There was rioting in the internet streets. People were so
PlayStation
upset.
Homes.
It was rioting in the PlayStation.
I wonder how many people were on PlayStation Home when they closed it down. There's
a lot
one
of people
guy
just to be so there for showed, the end. Yeah.
Well, they showed a video. We have a video on the site of like three people. Two of them are just one's like an anime girl dancing, and then there's just two people on a bench. Like, well, this was nice, and then the server shut down.
That's
super depressing.
Yeah, that's you know, so it was just it became a joke. Pretty quickly, and I remember I never played PlayStation Home. The closest I got was accidentally pressing PlayStation Home when I meant to pick the store, and I was like, nope, X, get out of there, nope.
Like, oh, welcome to PlayStation Home. Let's set up all these settings. Configurations. Thing. Like, no.
Yeah, come on in. This is how you do this. This is how you do that.
You want to buy something? You want to start buying some stuff?
This is how you put a couch down.
That's like when people, like, accidentally walk into a party they didn't want to go to, and they're like, what the what? And they're like, hey, come in. My mom called me.
You want a beer? I already opened up a beer for you. You got to stay for a little while. You got to drink this one beer.
Yes.
All right. And because we're running long, let's just dash through the reviews of this week. MLB The Show 15 got a 4 out of 5. It's the only baseball game in town, so you know, I mean, like, you just better you better like it or lump it, guys. Oddworld New and Tasty, the is this
Xbox
the,
One version?
The Xbox One version, right? Because this has been out on PS4 for a while. 4.5 out of 5, still great, still a great farty game about slavery. Slender the Arrival got a 3 out of 5, but it's still spooky. We got to make Sophia play that. Dark Souls 2, Scholar of the First Sin. This is the HD, or wait, this is the,
it's the next gen. It's the new gen.
New gen remaster.
Plus,
yes.
Plus
and
yeah.
some
yeah.
DLC.
Remix.
Yeah, they remix everything.
What interesting timing for this. yeah, it comes out right next to Bloodborne. When,
I mean, it worked for me, because I literally played Bloodborne, and then I was super hyped for Scholar of the First Sin.
Hey, Lucas, you got to play Dark Souls
and
2.
And I'll be buying it day one.
And Scholar of the First Sin's out. Oh, my God.
All right, and then Bladestorm Nightmare, nobody cares, got a 3. It got a 3 out of 5. Oh, also, Dark Souls 2 got a 4.5 out of 5.
Good
so,
game.
Yeah. Bladestorm, I think that's like...
It's like a Dynasty Warriors
yeah, like,
game.
Nobody wants... If Dynasty Warriors isn't enough for you, if 2 Dynasty Warrior games a year aren't enough for you and you got to have more, then get Bladestorm.
Then you don't have thumbs at that point. You're just like mashing stuff.
You have carpal tunnel from hitting X all the time.
Because those campaigns take so long.
I know. All right, so let's take a break. We're going to then hop into the community segment with the Question of the Week answers. And this week's Question of the Week, where the winner will win a copy of Story of Seasons. Ooh. Welcome back to the community segment
on Radio Radar.
We read your stuff if it's good enough.
Pretty good.
Yeah, it was good. I think we did a good job. All right, last week's question of the week was, speaking of HD remasters, new gen whatevers, what new gen port would you like to see? And the first responder was Bleached Blind, or no, the first
crazy name.
Well, they weren't. Sorry, they're the first one I'm reading, not the first person to write in. Although I'd like to see Level 5 given a chance to make a new entry in the series, a remaster of Dark Cloud 1 and 2 would be fun for an HD replay. They had interesting ideas and a unique style to them. Town building and dungeon crawling for both hot right now? Why not both?
Where did that interpretation of that sentence
come
from?
Town building and dungeon crawling are both hot right now anyway. Why not both?
Sentence finished.
Dinner.
Rorschach writes in next, says, I might sound like a spoiled whiny baby, what with Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire, but I would like to see, and then my brain exploded, Pokemon Diamond Pearl Remastered. I have over 80 hours in Diamond, and I am still playing. It is so awesome. Also, I bet I could use my army of perfectly engineered super Pokemon to subjugate the entire region.
Well,
big plans, this one.
Mm-hmm.
Punishment says, I would love a Fallout 3 or New Vegas remaster to hold me over until 4 comes out, Fallout 4. My game crashes or slows to an unplayable crawl whenever I try to replay those on the PS3 or 360. Go PC. Yeah. Maybe that upgrade will make it run consistently well, at least. That's all I'd ask for.
Yeah, maybe fair finally enough. A Fallout game. See, this is what I... Let me just share with you guys. When we had our top 100 talks. Anytime a Bethesda game came up, I'd say, like, broken games don't belong on this list. Broken game, like, yeah, oh, does it consistently work? No? All right, then this doesn't belong on a list.
Here's the thing. How did they... So they had a reputation for making broken games. How did they not just, like, quadruple the QA budget or something? But,
I think because they just
had
a hard...
Where are you going to get that money from, Lucas? we'll just quadruple the QA. Yeah, anybody would fucking quadruple the QA budget. If you just, it's just a big switch. You just flipped a switch.
Well,
here comes the new more QA budget. Here it comes down the pipe.
I think like Skyrim had such a hard date of like, it's 11-11-11. We're hitting that. Like, yeah. they just
no
said...
No matter
who,
what.
Yeah.
No matter what.
But what the PS3 free version doesn't work. No, he's buying that anyway. Who cares?
Like, yeah. Sold gangbusters anyway. Anyway. Bob-Bob.
Bob-Bob.
101 says, I would love to see Vanquish get a remaster treatment. A game that is basically Gears of War times rockets in my shoes times robot gorillas times Russia is too good to be stuck in just one generation of consoles. Not to mention that my copy broke and I couldn't find a new one. So if Platinum would just release a next-gen version in a week or so, that would be really great.
All right. You know what? I like that one because Vanquish is one of my favorite games. I think it was very underrated.
And I like that mathematical form.
Yeah. So Bob-Ob 101 or Bob-Ob 101, you're the winner. And so you need to email me. RadioRadar@GamesRadar.com with your details. You know, identify yourself as you say, hey, this is me. And also say what systems you have in case I maybe wanted to send you something for being such a good boy.
I already said you what you were going to send them.
What? No, this is for this week.
Oh, sorry.
So this week's question of the week is we're giving away, just like Lorenzo did, a copy of the brand new game, Story of Seasons.
Oh, there it is.
For the 3DS, which
like Harvest Moon.
Oh, right.
It's Harvest Moon in all but name.
Yeah.
Because in case you don't know the somewhat complex history behind it, guys, and I love giving history lessons like this, but Harvest Moon is not the name of that series in Japan. When Natsume brought it to America for Marvelous AQL, they renamed it Harvest Moon.
What was it originally?
That I don't know. Sorry. I don't know the Japanese name. But anyway, they brought it over for Natsume. It was a big, big hit for Natsume. And Marvelous didn't publish games in America, so it was a good partnership. Cut to Marvelous does publish their own games in America by purchasing Xseed, so they want to make it themselves. Natsume is like, hey, we got the name to this series though. We'll make our own Harvest Moon and sell it here. So they still stuck with this game called Story of Seasons, and still the same kind of farming stuff, all that good noise, just not the name, you know.
Spiritual success.
But I heard good things about this, and hey, who. You can't say no to free things. So this week's question of the week, unless you guys think it's terrible, but it's related to...
I just like the sentence structure.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Read it as you wrote it.
What gaming crop you plant?
Yes. There we go.
But seriously, though, what gaming crop would you plant? If you were a character in a Story of Seasons and you could plant any crop from a video game... What would it be? Now,
radishes.
Wait. I'm going
first. Oh, damn it.
Settle.
Wow. You jumped ahead.
Fine. You already said it. Just keep going.
Radishes, because you could eat them. You could use them as weapons. Uh-huh. And then they could be friends with you because they'll have faces on them.
Well, they have faces, but do they, like,
I've never seen if they talk or not.
Like, I mean...
It'd be really weird.
He's got a face.
It's like Castaway.
Yeah, it Castaway. Wilson didn't talk, but he was still his best of friends. Yeah.
It'd be really weird to bite into its eye.
It's juicy.
It's still smiling at you like, it's okay. Chow down.
I'm here for this. You know, just because I mentioned Skyrim, I think I would want to be a skooma farmer because you'd make some mad dough selling that skooma.
Oh, yeah.
And whatever the equivalent of, like, poppy plants are that, like, in the real world, people plant poppies to make heroin. I would plant whatever that is, the thing that you plant to make skooma.
Have you ever, when I was in high school, kids thought they were so
cool. Is this a heroin story?
No.
Okay.
That'd be messed up.
I was in the bathroom with a rubber band around my arm.
And the principal walked in. Kids thought they were cool by Googling, like, how to get high off poppy seeds.
Yeah.
They would buy poppy seeds and, like, boil them down. So, what are you dealing with your life right now?
Or people would try to get high off of sniffing glue. It's like, that Elmer's is not the right type of glue to do that with.
But if you put it in a bag, it'll work.
Let's tell people how to better sniff glue. You need to get a real strong epoxy.
What kind of brands are we talking about here?
You got to go to a hardware store.
Right. Is this like an Ace Hardware kind of situation?
Sir, what's the best sniffing glue you have?
I brought my own bag.
What's the strongest glue you have? Wink.
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 I need to build some planes, little airplanes. Wink. All right,
I want them to last.
You two guys.
I mean, I got mine locked and loaded. I got two.
Oh, because
if I was like a combat medic, I would grow the M tomatoes from
from
Kirby and just Metamata. Dish them out.
Ooh.
And yeah, and people, the troops would be like, I'm feeling refreshed as hell right now. But for me, I would do the sunflower from Plants vs. Zombies
because
it's so chipper.
I love that.
The song from Plants vs. Zombies is amazing.
Yeah.
I was following your logic there, Lucas, to a bit, because I was thinking the Phoenix Down from Final Fantasy, but then the more I think about it, like, isn't that a feather and not necessarily
it is
like a plant? Or
literally
like
down
a
off
feather.
A phoenix.
Yeah, okay. Yes, see, yeah. I figured that out in the minutes that I was thinking about. So then I thought, well, wouldn't it be cool if you had a crop? Because, you know, in Mario 2, like Lorenzo was saying with the turnips, sometimes, though, you pull out that potion bottle.
Ooh,
and he gets the doors.
The alternate dimension.
What if you could grow those potion bottles, and then you'd be popping up dimensional doors all over
left
your space.
And right.
Yeah, but you might have to like plant like 100 turnips, and one of them would be.
Oh,
the
you think it's like a random?
Yeah.
Like
that's what it seems to be. Yeah.
What about the POW blocks?
Oh yeah, the POW blocks.
Yeah, that'd
too.
Be pretty dangerous though. You'd have to like,
you,
step
you,
on
the wrong.
If you manage to pull the bottle early, like in the crop, you could go through the door and then just make mad
you'd be
bank.
Rich.
Because yeah,
be
you'd be pulling coins. Out all over the place.
But don't stick around too long.
Yeah, don't stick around too long. You gotta get out of there.
Your life's a gamble, man.
You gotta get out of there. See, I'm that's big risk, big money.
All right, see, that what
gaming crop you plant?
What
gaming crop you plant really ended up with some great answers, and I bet we'll get even better ones in the comments for this week's episode. Whoa. So put them down in comment place,
uh-huh.
And
please to go to them.
And best winner get Story of
get
Seasons.
Prize.
Get yeah, you'll get Story of Seasons. A fun little game.
That baby at WrestleMania.
Anyway, you guys want, is there anything else we really need to talk about?
Check out our streams every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday from 3:30 to 5. We live stream important games on Monday most of the time. Check out Tuesdays because Connor and Dave need some love with Heroes of the Storm. They play with the community sometimes. Wednesdays we give away stuff, and with Henry we get all of our history lessons. So check us out. It's a lot of fun.
I had a lot of trivia to drop in the Super Mario 64 one.
Yeah.
Dropping knowledge.
It's a good time. Come join us. It's great. Mm-hmm. Fun.
All right. So, yeah, thanks again for listening, everybody, especially to the this WrestleMania conversation plus game talk. we had a good time, and we'll see you later. And until next time, Radio Radar out!